right, praise the Lord. Well, tonight we're going to have a missionary presentation by the tag team from Kenya, the Stephen Raines family and Michael Raines family. And so that's going to be interesting to see how they do the preaching with that tag team. But, you know, that's possible. But we're looking forward to that. And we're blessed to have Brother Neil Forrester with us today, our missionary to Navajo land. And great to have you here, brother. It's a blessing. And you made that special trip for Brother Raines' funeral. And that certainly says a lot about Brother Raines and his impression on many, many different souls. And continue to pray for the family. And Mrs. Raines is sick for the first time, with the flu for the first time in 36 years. I'm sure that been a long, long haul for her, and her body just kind of gave up for a minute here. But be praying for her and the rest of the family. Resurrection Sunday, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's turn there in our Bible this morning. The resurrection chapter in the Bible. And as we think of the resurrection, of course, the chapter starts off with the fact that the resurrection is an important part of the gospel. The gospel is that by which we are saved. And without the resurrection, there is no gospel. There is no salvation. And we are reminded of that as we begin this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to read a couple verses here. verse 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, and according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's pray. Lord, pray that you will take the truth of the resurrection and might, Lord, its truth, through your Holy Spirit, enlighten our souls and permeate, Lord, our the hearts of the people of God today, and might it prick the hearts of those who are dead in trespasses and sins to come to the living Savior. Might you be glorified, Lord, as we deal with this central message of the life and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Bible tells us that we have a great enemy. And the great enemy, the Bible tells us, is death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, it says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Everybody in this room, except the Lord would come, everybody in this room, 100 out of 100 people will die. You're going to die. We're going to die. Death is still in vogue today. It has not ceased. Everybody will die. Every young person will grow older or in some way and die. And death is still very real, and death is a very real enemy. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God told Adam and Eve, he says, the day you eat of that fruit, you shall die. You shall die. Death is real. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death is a very, very real thing. The wages of sin is death. You know, most people, as they read the Bible, they don't understand this principle of death. You know, you go in the Old Testament, and a person who touched a dead body could not go and worship in the temple. They could not worship in the temple if they touched a dead body. We have a holy God. And death is about sin. Death is a result of sin. Death is sin reigning in the human race. And death is a very horrible, horrible thing. And yet everybody is going to face death because of sin. And we are all sinners. Now the Bible tells us that there are many different aspects of death. The Bible tells us that there's the aspect that we are all well aware of. The fact is there is such a thing as physical death. Physical death. Yes. You know, you're going to die, and I'm going to die. But it's real. You know, it's final. It's real. I heard little Johnny was at the gravesite. And as the casket was lowered, he said, "They're going to bring it up again? Is he coming out of there?" "No. He's not coming out." Physical death is a result of sin coming into the human race. You know, the Bible tells us that death is very real. But you know, the Bible tells us that there are other aspects of death. There are other aspects of death. The Bible says, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Dead in trespasses and sins. As a result of sin entering into the human race, now man has not only has physical death, man has spiritual death. You were dead in trespasses and sins. That's very real. You know, you can put it a lot of different ways. But you know, you can't expect a lost world to live the Christian life because they are dead. Dead. And you know, that death is very real. I mean, it has many different aspects. The Bible says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. That's a part of that spiritual death. You can't understand the Bible if you're unsaved. Your mind is blinded. Your spirit is dead. The spiritual realm, people are subject to the devil's lies. Why? Because they're spiritually dead. You know, many Christians don't realize or even think about the aspect of death. You know, what does the Bible say in Romans chapter 8? It says in verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death." To be carnally minded is death. Huh. Really? What does that mean? You live in the flesh, dear Christian. You are living in the realm of spiritual death. Don't expect to love the things of God. Don't expect to love the Word of God. Don't expect to love the preaching of the Word of God. Don't expect it to have any impact on your life. Carnal mind is dead. It's dead. It's death, spiritual death. It's real. It's very real. Feed the flesh. Oh, wow. The Bible talks about the fact of eternal death. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. In verse 14 it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And death, that's physical death. And hell, that speaks of the place of the souls of those that are lost. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is forever and ever and ever. Under the jurisdiction of death. Forever and ever, eternal torment. Now, the resurrection is all about conquering death. Amen? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about conquering death. And you know, we've seen that death has many different aspects, but death has to do with physical death. Death has to do with spiritual death. Death has to do with eternal death. These are all real aspects of death and the result of sin that is in the human race. Do you think Adam and Eve had any idea what they were doing? Do you think they had any idea what they were bringing into the human race? No. Neither do we when we sin. Neither do we know what we are doing to ourselves. Neither do we know what we're doing to our family. Neither do we know what we're doing to humanity. Neither do we know what we're doing to our descendants. Neither do we know what we're doing to our civilization when we sin. Sin always brings death in some realm. The Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus is the one who rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. This is a big victory. This completes the gospel. He rose from the dead. Death couldn't, the grave could not hold him. He rose from the dead. Well, it's important that there was someone who conquered death. Someone who conquered the wages of sin. Someone who conquered the hold of sin. It was the Lord Jesus. You can't conquer death. You know, you ever think about it? Do you ever think about, okay, put yourself in that casket, you're dead. Raise yourself up. I mean, obviously impossible, isn't it? Right? Obviously impossible. Well, you know what? Being in that grave and thinking that you could raise yourself up or realizing you can't raise yourself up is the same truth. About all the aspects of death. You cannot save yourself from spiritual death. You cannot save yourself from the hold of sin on your being. You cannot save yourself from your sinful nature. You cannot save yourself from being separated from God. You cannot save yourself from this deadness, this lack of love for God or seeking. You can't save yourself from that. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can. So Jesus rose from the dead. And I think there's a lot of different things we could say about that. I thought of three things that give you a summary of 1 Corinthians 15. The resurrection, number one, completes the gospel. Jesus dying on the cross wasn't enough. He had to rise from the dead. That completes the gospel. He shed his blood. He gave his life as the payment of our sin. But he had to rise from the dead to complete the gospel. And so we find that 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the gospel includes the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that if there was no resurrection, we are still in our sins. And so the resurrection is so important because it completes the gospel. Number two, the resurrection is significant in 1 Corinthians because it is the basis of how we are to live our lives. The resurrection, the basis of how we are to live our lives. And thirdly, the book of 1 Corinthians, the chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, fulfills with the resurrection of the human body. It fulfills the redemption of the human race. It fulfills the redemption of the human race. You know, Jesus came to rescue the human race. He came to rescue us from hell. He came to rescue us from the dominion of sin in our lives. And he came to rescue us from the grave. He came to fulfill the redemption of the human race. That is still ahead of us who know Jesus Christ. That is still yet to take place. And 1 Corinthians talks about that. So we find the resurrection completes the gospel. We read it. You know it. Maybe you know it by fact, but do you know it by truth? It says, the gospel by which ye are saved. Oh, saved from what? Saved from death. The wages of sin is death. I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He rose again. Now listen, we have a living Savior. We have a living Savior. What does that mean? There is a living Savior who is alive and who can save you and I. If you're not saved, he can save you because he's alive. He is alive. He not only can save you from the penalty of sin and give you eternal life, he can make you new. He's alive. And he can lead your life. Your whole life. That's a living Savior. Save you from your sin. Save you from the power of sin. Make you a new person. And leads you in the path of righteousness in your life. A living Savior. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, the difference between religion and the Bible, if I use that term correctly, you know, in a general sense, religion always is trying to get you saved indirectly. You know what I'm saying? You get saved through baptism. You get saved through Lord's Supper. You get saved through church membership. You get saved from the sacraments. You get saved from all of that stuff. No. You know how you get saved? By going directly to a living Savior. That's how you get saved. Not through religion. Not through this indirect route, but a direct route. Because He's alive. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden. It says, he that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. Why? Because He's a living Savior and He can save you. Religion is all this indirect stuff. And it's almost as though He's only alive in theory. Second thing. So we have a living Savior who is alive and who can save you. And is alive, can lead our life. You know, they were mocking Vice President Pence because he said that God talks to him. Praise the Lord. We got a living Savior. Amen. Hey, He speaks to us through the Word of God. Amen. He leads us in the path of righteousness through His Holy Spirit. Okay? Because He's a living Savior. The world only knows about dead religious leaders. Jesus is alive. Secondly, the resurrection is the basis of how we live. Notice a number of things in this chapter that emphasize the resurrection is all about, if you're saved, it's all about how you live. Now, as the Apostle Paul is talking about this, in verse 30, notice what it says. It says, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. If, after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. What was the Apostle Paul saying? He said, you know what? This is actually, he fought with beasts. Think of the Roman era. What did they do with Christians? What did they do with Christians? They fed them to the beasts, right? He put, because of for the sake of Christ, his life was in jeopardy. You know what that means? That means he was in a position, as a result of preaching the gospel, to be, to die. Why would you die for something that didn't count? Now, as a general principle here, you know what? There's something after death. Did you know that? There's something after death. You know, he's kind of putting things kind of practically here. Those who don't really believe, now, they may know it intellectually, but they don't really believe it. Those who do not believe there's anything after death, that's how they live. They live a life of sin. They live a life of pleasure. They live a life of abusing them, their body and their mind and their whole being. Why? Because they don't believe that there's something after death. Apostle Paul said, now I believe there's something after death. And you know why? And because of it, I am willing to risk my life to tell others about Jesus. I'm willing to risk my life. Now, I never forget the great illustration of Monroe Parker. You probably heard me say it 15 times, but Monroe Parker was a young preacher. He was asked by this preacher in Tennessee, or Kentucky or wherever it was, to come and preach in his town, revival meeting. And he said, he wrote him a letter, said, we'd like you to come. Now, he says a couple things I want you to know. He says, every preacher that I have ever invited, they have beat him up and abused him and kicked him out of town. And the Lord asked me, and the Lord made it clear, I should call, write you, and ask you to come and preach in our town, preach a revival meeting. So Monroe Parker prayed about it. He says, yep, I think God wants me to go. So he goes to that town, and the first night of the revival meeting, he gets up to preach, and these hoodlums come in. And the pastor, who was an older man, I wonder how old that was, 65, I don't know, 75, I don't know. Older man, right, Wally? You know, and so he goes back to the lobby. Think of these old churches, you know, they had the auditorium and then the entrance, you know, in the back in the vestibule back there. He goes there and meets these guys, try to keep them from disturbing the service, and they're kind of roughing them up. And they push their way past him. And they're walking down the aisle, and the guy's got a gun. And he's got it pointed right at the preacher. And it was real. They were going to kill him. And Monroe Parker says, you can't kill me. I got eternal life. You can't kill me. I got eternal life. And I don't know what else he said. He said, now just put that gun away and sit down. Well, obviously the Spirit of God was there. And he wasn't afraid to die because he knew he had eternal life. And he was willing to stand up to this hoodlum that needed to be stood up against and put him in his place. Told him to sit down, and he sat down. And that night, that hoodlum got saved. And 700 of those rough, tough, godless, wicked coal miners in that town before the revival was over got saved too. You know what? Because there was a man willing to risk his life because he believed in the resurrection. You know what? The fact is, we don't really believe much in the resurrection, I think. What are we willing to risk for Jesus Christ? What are we willing to give up to serve Jesus Christ? Sometimes we probably would be embarrassed if we really thought about it. What we're really unwilling to do for God. Because we don't really live like there's a resurrection. Now the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you'll turn with me to verse 33, it says right after this, he says, but living like there is a resurrection, he says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Notice what he's saying. He's saying, if you don't live like there's a resurrection, guess what you're telling people? You're telling people there is no resurrection. If you don't live like there's a resurrection, you're telling people there is no resurrection. And you are condemning them to hell. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Why? Because there's a world that does not know that Jesus rose from the dead. You know, so believers who aren't living for God are telling the world Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And that's a pretty serious thing, isn't it? That's a pretty serious thing. Live like there is, you know what? We need to realize that this world is dead and trespasses and sins. And we need to live differently than this world. Instead of copying the world with our the way we live, the way we dress, the what we think is entertainment, instead of, we ought to show them that Jesus rose from the dead. You know, an old saying, any dead fish can float downstream. Any dead fish can go along with the wicked culture we have. But you know what? It takes a live one to swim against the current, doesn't it? It takes a live fish to swim against the current. And that's what we are. We're alive in Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. Amen? And so it tells us that, you know, the resurrection has all to do with how we live. Notice verse 58. Verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren. This, therefore, is the conclusion. It's telling us that there is a conclusion to the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that there is a resurrection in which everybody that is saved will stand before God. Before the Lord Jesus Christ and in eternity. That this life is only a short part of our existence. He says, if it's that really so, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus is alive. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the judge. If he has saved you, you will, as a Christian, will stand before him someday. And you will live in his presence forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And what's going to count about your life, this little life on earth, is how you have lived for Jesus. How you and I have lived for Jesus. You know, if there's no resurrection, then we ought to live like the pagans. We ought to live like the heathen. Like Brother Heath talked about in Sunday school. Yeah, the pagans didn't believe in the resurrection, so they lived a life of immorality, of fornication, of abusing their bodies, marking their bodies, tattooing their bodies, piercing their bodies. They lived like there wasn't a resurrection of their body. But you know, if we believe and know that there's a resurrection of our body, what should we be doing? We should be serving Jesus Christ. You know, one of these days, our life's going to be over. You know, I'm at that stage, I'm thinking more about that. And when you bury your best friend, you think about it even more. You think about, you know what? There's not much time left. There's not much time left. What am I going to do with what time I have left? What am I going to do with what time I have left? Am I going to live for me? Am I going to live for pleasure? Am I going to live for sin? Am I going to live for this world? Am I going to live for friendship with half-hearted, carnal Christians? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? The Apostle Paul says, be steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Do everything you can for Jesus Christ. Do everything you can to spread the gospel. Do everything you can to make the work of God prosper and be blessed and be spiritual and godly. Do everything you can. That's what he's saying. Because guess what? There is a resurrection. Now notice, it says about the fact that our the resurrection is going to complete our redemption. That is an amazing thing. Notice what it says. It says, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Just that is amazing. The resurrection of the dead. Those who, as human beings, have tasted death because of Adam's sin and their own sin. But Jesus Christ is going to do something. It says it's sown in corruption. A body that died, that's in a state of decay. And God's going to take that body that is in a, it corrupts, that's in a state of decay, or, and He's going to raise it in incorruption. A perfect body. A body, it says, that's sown in dishonor. That dishonor. As honorable as our brother Joe Raines was, God didn't create us to die. Just think about that. All those marvelous gifts. All those marvelous things about who He was. It all ended. It's gone. It's gone. It ended just like that. That's how quickly it takes place, isn't it? And you know what? We have to embalm them. Otherwise, we can't have an open casket funeral. The Bible says it's sown in weakness. You know, Brother Joe was probably, I'm not saying probably, but I'm saying he definitely was ready to meet the Lord. But I still think he still wanted to live. He still wanted to serve God. He still wanted to be with his family. He still had a lot of life in him. Desires. But weakness overcame him. Weakness, the weakness of sin, the weakness of our body. You know, they say, they did an experiment, and I can't give you the exact details, but, you know, cells are made by God to reproduce. And so they thought if they could take some cells and put them in this perfect environment, that these living cells, that they would just keep reproducing. And they would just keep going on and on and on and on. And they found out, no. Even these cells came to a point where they stopped reproducing. Because death has come into the human race. Death has come into this universe. It's sown in weakness. You and I can't do anything to raise ourselves up from the grave. We can't even keep ourselves from dying. But the Bible says it's sown in weakness and it's raised in power. Oh boy. Wait till those lids come off. Amen. Man, under all that soil, those lids gonna pop right off. That's raised in power, not in weakness. Isn't that amazing? It's the resurrection. And that the Bible tells us it's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. A natural body, born of a mother and father. But it's going to be raised a spiritual body. A body of a spiritual nature. The Bible says that body will be eternal in the heavens. Never going to get weak. It's never going to get old. It's always going to be, a body, the future. And you know what is that all about? The Bible tells us it is the completion of what Jesus did on the cross, rescuing humanity from sin. That's what's going to take place. That's what Jesus came to do, to rescue us. It says in verse 55, it says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a day that's going to be when Jesus returns. And what's he going to do? He's going to call everybody that's in the grave. Isn't that amazing? He's going to call us. And in response to that call, we're going to be raised from the dead. What a great truth that is. John chapter 5, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 25, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Do you ever stop to think about what that says? They that hear shall live. Now listen, what does that mean? It's talking about the saved, isn't it? They that hear shall live. No, there's going to be people in the grave that are lost. And the emphasis, the particular is that they're not going to hear his voice at the rapture. But let me do a little preaching here. Let me do a little bit of preaching here. Will you hear his voice? Will you hear his voice? Remember what Jesus said when he was on the earth? He that hath ears, let him hear. You know what Jesus said about those that he gave eternal life? What does he say about those that he gave eternal life? What does it say? My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. What is it saying? It's saying those that are born again hear his voice. Those that are born again hear his voice. Those who are born again hear his voice. Those that are born again will hear his voice at the resurrection. Isn't that what it's saying? It's not merely physically hearing the voice. It's hearing and that body, I'm just going to snatch up just like that. But you know, I'm doing a little preaching here. We live in a day of confusion, don't we? We live in a day of fake Christianity. We live in a day I don't care what you call it, entertainment, worldly Christianity. I tell you what, there's going to be a pretty sad day at the day of reckoning. You know, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, I'll be ashamed of you when I stand before my Father. We live in a day in which it says, you know, you can be saved and live the way you want. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says the mark of a person who is saved is that when they hear this book, it has an effect upon them. Has an effect upon them. It has an effect. They respond to it. That's real Christianity. That's the real thing. What was the day that you heard the voice of the Lord Jesus? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, there we go again. If any man hear my voice and open the door, that's only by personal invitation, isn't it? I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. What was the day that you heard the voice of the Lord Jesus saying, you are a sinner, you're condemned to hell, and you deserve it, and you can't save yourself, you need a new life, I'm the only one that can give it, I'm the Lord and I want to be the Lord of your life, but I can't be your Savior and I can't be your Lord until you personally turn to me in repentance and faith and call upon me to be your Lord and Savior. When was the day you heard the Lord Jesus? When was the last time you heard the Lord Jesus in your Christian life? A couple years ago we had a teen retreat and the theme was hear the voice of God. And the whole issue was you go to the Bible and you read the Bible and God, it's normal for God to speak to your heart. When's the last time you read your Bible and God said, you know, that's a truth for your life. That's a sin you need to get out of your life. This is what you ought to do. This is what you ought to, how you ought to change your life. This is what I want. When's the last time you heard the voice of God? You know, we had young people at that retreat say, you know, it's been years since I heard the voice of God. I dare say we might even have adults in this auditorium who claim to be saved, but it's been years since you heard the voice of God and you responded to it. Because you know the word hear in the Bible, did you know that the word hear in the Old Testament and the word obey are the same Hebrew word? The word shema is the same word translated hear as the same word translated obey. What a day when Jesus calls her name at the resurrection. And Satan and death are finally completely vanquished. And then forever and ever we will live with the Lord. Amen. What a day. The day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is so much bigger than we can talk about today. It is more important than we could ever think. It is more real than we could ever imagine. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we'll never really know its greatness until we are in the presence of our Lord and the last enemy is defeated. Brother Rain is right now is getting a little bit of glimpse of all of that glory right now. But you know, we're still in the realm of death, aren't we? And it's only the Lord Jesus that can lift us out of the realm of death. A living Savior. As we think of that I trust that maybe as we sing the final song, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. Do you know that? As we sing that final hymn, let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus. And now, Lord, as we close this message, Lord, I pray that there will be those, that person today, who will hear the voice of the living Savior and go to Him. Lord, the living Savior who can deliver them from death, who can deliver them from the power of death and sin, who can live in their life and change their life. Lord, I pray that our lives would show that You're alive. I pray that that we would decide today that we're going to show by our life that You're alive. We're going to show by our life that we can make a decision to turn against sin. We can make a decision because we know a living Savior that we're not going to follow the world. And we're not going to be a lukewarm Christian. And we aren't going to be a worldly Christian because You're alive. And we're going to live for a living Savior. And Lord, we can decide today what we're going to do with the rest of our life. And that is we're going to abound in the work of the Lord. And that's a decision that is so vital. And Lord, may it be so even now that we're going to live like You're risen from the dead. And we'll look forward, Lord, to the last enemy being destroyed. May it be so, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.